or the wisdom of heaven versus the wisdom of hell, or the wisdom of the Lord and the wisdom of this world. And so what he's going to do is he's going to kind of compare these two together, and he's going to show us what it looks like to have the wisdom of God. And so we read first in this verse 13, he says, "Who among you is wise and understanding? By his good conduct, he should show that his works are done in the gentleness that comes from wisdom." And so that sort of tees us up here for this discussion on wisdom. Now, if you'll go back, and I hope you have your Bible with you, okay? And so you're going to flip in your Bible some. I hope you have it with you. Or maybe you got it on your phone or something like that. So, but if you'll go back to James chapter 1, he's already spoke about wisdom once. And in James chapter 1, verse 5, what does God's word say? It says, "Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him." So, true wisdom, here's what I want to say, just to kind of kickstart us. True wisdom, the wisdom from above, the wisdom that is from heaven, is ultimately from who? It's from God. All true wisdom comes from God. And God says in this promise here in James 1, he says, "I want to give you this wisdom. I want to give you what you need to live and operate and make decisions and to live the kind of calling and life that God has called us to." And he says, "Listen, so ask and I'll give it to you. Ask. I'm not going to hold it back. I have wisdom and I've given you wisdom. I want to give you wisdom, and it comes from God." But as we keep reading here in James, we see that there is this wisdom, if you will, okay? It's not the wisdom of God, but something else, and here it's called wisdom. There's a wisdom of the world, or the earthly wisdom, or an unspiritual wisdom. Look at verse 15. It says, "Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic." And so when you hear me say these things, because they can sometimes sound kind of rough, okay? I'm not just trying to be some rough guy. This Sunday morning is going to be a little bit rough. We're looking at the resurrection of the unbelievers, okay? We looked at the resurrection of Jesus. We looked at the resurrection of believers. And we got to look at the truth that the Bible says there's going to be a resurrection of those who are lost. And it's not a pretty sight, that resurrection unto judgment to the second death, okay? But we got to look at that. We can't gloss over those things. And so here's the thing. Right here we see in James, it says that there's this wisdom that the world is trying to infiltrate our minds with, our kids' minds, the teenagers' minds, your adult kids out there in the workplace. There's a wisdom of the world, and it will put on a mask and it will look good, but it is from hell. He says right here, it's demonic. And so he uses that term. He says it's earthly, unspiritual, demonic. What's the difference between the wisdom of God and the wisdom from hell? Well, worldly wisdom is motivated by pride. If you look at verse 14, once again, it says, "But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't boast and deny the truth." You see, it talks here about bitter envy. That is bitter is to be like a harsh person, to be a cutting, you know, to cut people down, but to be critical, bitter. Envy is being really destructive, with jealousy, with zeal, like you know, there's a bitter envy that leads us to do whatever it takes for us to maybe make ourselves happy, or to make ourselves feel accomplished, or to build ourselves up. And what God's saying is that's not a wisdom from God, that's a wisdom from hell. And so the idea that, like, hey, I need to beat people down to pull myself up is not a godly wisdom. That's a wisdom from the devil. This selfish and ambition, right? Self-fulfillment at any cost. Does that sound like the world we live in? Yes, it sure does. And that's the way it's been. That's the way humanity is. There's this selfishness. There's this ambition of I'm going to do whatever it takes at whatever cost to do these things for my own benefit and for my own good, regardless of what it does to my wife. You know, sometimes you don't need a promotion. Sometimes you don't need the bigger, better job. But the only way you're going to know that is if you're connected to the wisdom of God. Because the wisdom of the world says you need more and you need the prestige and you need those things. But if you only knew it was going to cost you your entire family. Where do we have wisdom that's going to help us to understand when we need to make what decision and where to go and what to do and should I? We need the wisdom that comes from God. Because the world says, get what's coming to you, get yours, build yourself up at whatever cost. And so it's motivated by what? Pride. I mean, pride is one of those ultimate sins. You can go back and if you have your Bible, you can flip there, or you probably already know all this by heart, but Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, right? We have the sin in the Garden of Eden, and it says the serpent was the most cunning of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden? We are seeing the wisdom of the devil in Genesis 3. Okay, we're seeing this is his knowledge. This is what the world says. This is what he says. This is what he's trying to infiltrate. And so, he's asking these questions. Did God really say you can't do that? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, but about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you must not eat it or touch it or you will die. No, you will certainly not die, the serpent said to the woman. In fact, God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. The woman saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to look at, and that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom. So she took some of its fruit and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. You know, why did Eve do that? Pride. Why did Adam and Eve do that? The pride. The pride of what they thought they could get out of it. They thought they knew better than what God had to say. And in their own flesh and in their that flesh nature, they said, hey, you know what? I'm going to listen to the temptation of the world. I'm going to listen to the temptation of the devil. And I, in my pride, am going to do what I want to do because I think this is going to help me in some way. Pride. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. Listen to what 1 John says in chapter 2, verse 16. God's word says, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride in one's possessions is not from the Father, but it is from the world. All of this pride, all of this conceit, all of this self-centeredness, all of this self-interest, all of this self-fulfillment, all of this build yourself up at whatever cost does not come from God. It comes from below. And so this viewpoint here that James is giving us, talking about this wisdom from below, this worldly wisdom, this demonic wisdom, it's limited because it is self-consumed. All it can see is itself. That's all it can see. All it can see is itself. And the moment it's in, it can't see out there beyond to the future. Can't see the effects it's going to have on other people and what this is going to mean. later down the road. So it's very limited. Now, the world says, elevate yourself. But what does God say? Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Lower your. So the world says, elevate. God says, lower yourself. The world says, get what's yours. God says that every good gift comes from above. That God's the giver of these good gifts. Not get what you got come and go get yours. It's live for God. He will give you what you need. And He will provide. The world says, assert yourself. God says, deny yourself. That's what He says. See, you want to be one of my followers? You want to be a disciple of me? Then deny yourself daily. Take up your cross and follow me. And so we kind of see, man, there's a difference here between this wisdom that the world tries to push on us and the wisdom that comes from God. The world plays a comparison game. And here's the thing. It all leads, in verse 16, look at where all this leads to. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, this is where it leads. There is disorder and every evil practice. Wonder why there's so much disorder in our world. Wonder why there's so much disorder in our country. Wonder why there's so much disorder in our families. I wonder why there's so much disorder in our workplaces. Why is there so much disorder in our marriages? Well, that's where the world's wisdom leads. That's what he says in verse 16. All of this leads to disorder and every evil practice. Now, make no mistake about it. There's a ton of knowledge in this world. There's a ton of knowledge. I mean, God has given us this creation. We've explored it. We've worked it. We've come to understand some about it. We haven't even scratched the surface of what there is to know, right? We just celebrated astronauts going to outer space. I mean, like, it takes some knowledge to send somebody up to the moon and back, okay? You know, Elon Musk is a genius. I mean, if you can send a rocket up like he does and then have it come back and land out in the ocean and there's like a floating thing out there that right in the middle of the ocean and a big rocket comes and lands on it, I mean, you got to be pretty smart to figure something like that out. So there's smart people. There is knowledge, but here's the thing. You can be smart, but not wise. You can have knowledge, but not wisdom. Wisdom is knowing what is right and true and living it out in the way God has called us to. I'll give you an example. There's people that know the Bible, that can quote Scripture and know the Bible, but they're not living it out and obeying it. That's not wisdom. You can know something, but that's not wisdom unless you're living the Word out and obeying God's Word. When you obey the Word of God, that's wise. In fact, it's not wise to know it and not obey it. You're a fool to know the Word of God and not obey it. And so wisdom then, if we use that example of just people who know the Bible, right, is wisdom is knowing the Bible and being shaped by it and living it out and it being your desire to obey God and obey the Lord. Think about, you know, Proverbs tells us that it's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and of knowledge. And so godly wisdom comes from heaven. And it's not this wisdom from the world. Look at it with me once again. Verse 13 says that Who is wise? By his good conduct, he should show that his works are done in the gentleness that comes from wisdom. So godly wisdom, here's what we've already looked at this. Where does it come from? It comes from God. It comes from heaven. It comes from God. And because of that, here's the thing. Wisdom, godly wisdom, has a heavenly perspective. There's a big difference between the wisdom of the world and the wisdom. We just said the wisdom of the earth is, I can't see past myself. I can't see past my circumstances. I can't see past what makes me happy and what makes me comfortable. But the wisdom from God has a heavenly, eternal perspective that you can see things, or you can believe things, or you can know things from the wisdom of God that says, this is bigger than how I feel right now. This is bigger than just this moment. This is going to impact generations of people. This is going to impact my family. This is going to impact my church. This is going to impact other people, that God is doing something in and through my life. But you only can see that if you have a heavenly perspective. If we could see our life from the lens or the viewpoint from heaven, we would look at our lives a lot differently, wouldn't we? We would. That's what wisdom from God helps us to understand and see things those way. Verse 17 says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peace-loving, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without pretense. I quickly just want to say a couple of things. When I see this word is first pure, it just reminds me that the only way we are pure is by the blood of Jesus. And I'm going to quickly move through these because I want to get to a couple other things before we close. Talks here about this wisdom from God is peace-loving. What's that mean? Well, I think it means things like this. Peace-loving, it promotes right relationships, a right relationship with God. It promotes this wisdom from God, promotes a right relationship not only with God but with others. Right? We should be seeking peace and reconciliation with one another. We should be living in one accord with one another. It says here that it is gentle. Gentle. You know, when we think about gentle, it's not only, I think it's more than just like physical, being a, you know, a gentle person towards us, but it's also with what we say, right? Are we harsh? Are we critical? Do we have a harsh spirit? Do we have a critical spirit? The wisdom from God is gentle. We are gentle. It's compliant. That is, we're teachable. We're not stubborn. We're willing to submit, right? Right? We got to submit to God. And we got to submit to those that God puts in authority over us. And the pride doesn't want us to do those things, but the wisdom of God says, listen, just do what I'm calling you to do. It says it's full of mercy, having compassion for others. Right? The wisdom of God says, I care for you. I'm going to meet you in your place of need. I'm going to provide for you. What does the world look like? The world kicks you while you're down. Godly wisdom picks that person up, helps them, loves them, takes care of them. And he goes on to talk about here that it's full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without pretense. And so, because we're out of time, I'm going to give you something you can read. I was going to read it, but if you'll go read the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 10, it's almost identical to what we just read out of James, okay? Almost identical, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes. And James builds a lot of his book, as I've been studying this, has built a lot of this off of the Sermon on the Mount. But I want to close with this. And so turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to start reading in verse 18. I won't have time for much commentary, but let's listen to this. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the word of the cross, and don't get me started, because I might preach for another hour once I get in this passage, so don't get me started. The word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. We got the world's wisdom, and it says the cross is the dumbest thing you could ever think of. And it's the word of the cross is foolishness to this world, to those who are perishing. But it is the power of God to us who are being saved. The wisdom of God, His Son, Jesus, the crucifixion, the cross, the blood of the Lamb spilled out for the sins of the world so that we could be redeemed, so that we could be reconciled to God, have a relationship with Him. God's plan that nobody would think up except God Himself in His divine knowledge and wisdom. He says, this is how it has to be. Power of God to us who are being saved. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. That's the wisdom of these worldly people. And I will set aside the intelligence of the intelligent. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the debater of this age? Hasn't God made the world's wisdom foolish? For since in God's wisdom the world did not know God through wisdom, God was pleased to save those who believe through the foolishness of what is preached. For the Jews ask for signs and the Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. Yet to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. There it is. Because God's foolishness, which He has no foolishness, so he's driving a point home. I hope you know that. Because God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. So let me close by asking you this. If you and I trust God's wisdom for our salvation, that He would save us by the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, and we have set our life on that, and we have trusted in Him that our eternal destiny, our home in heaven, is all based upon the wisdom of God, that Jesus Christ would die and rise again, then why won't we trust Him in His wisdom for every other area of our life? And that's what he's saying here in these scriptures here in James is, we can trust God's wisdom. It's not the wisdom of the world. Don't be tempted by that stuff. Trust Him. Trust His word. Trust His wisdom. Know it. Ask Him for it. Obey it. Live by it. God will bless your life. He'll use you. You'll see things differently. And yeah, you're going to make decisions differently because you have the wisdom of God. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, thank You for Your goodness to us tonight. And God, thank You for Your wisdom. And Lord, as You say in James chapter 1, verse 5, that if any of us lacks Your wisdom, though we can ask You, and You're delighted to give it to us. And so God, help us to be wise people. Your word says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Lord, may we fear You. May we humble ourselves before You. Help us, God, to lead our families and our friends this way. And God, keep us humble before You, gentle before You. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.